This is the order of battle!
This is an Operation Recall concept creator interview. It was still the middle of the Operation Recall campaign when I was able to sit down with Raymond Theis. He is the concept creator for the Great Whites troop builder from Wave 3, Figure 1. It was an excellent conversation with a guy who has been collecting since when we all just called them our toys and not a collection. Fantastic spirit and great conversation. I hope you enjoy this. Thank you for all the support you gave Operation Recall when it was going on. And when the backer kit and hopefully the pre-order system drops, we can all make sure that the final three get unlocked.
I don't know a lot of people. I've always really just kind of kept to myself, kind of with my collecting and stuff like that. Till this, I've never even, you know, really reached out to anybody or done anything like that. So it's kind of interesting because I used to just lurk, basically, maybe comment on people's collections and stuff like that.
Sure.
It's interesting because suddenly I'm like trying to promote it. So I'm saying, hey, check this out on Facebook and different medias. And then people are like, oh, that's cool. And then they're, you know, they're saying, oh, I really love that figure concept that you have. I want it for my Cobra Bug or my underwater guys. And I was like, dang, it's pretty cool. So it's just a cool feeling.
It's a great feeling, isn't it? And now you know me and you know Carson. I see your background is blurred, but I can still catch a Cobra symbol out of the corner.
Oh, yeah. You know, when you're a collector, you want to display everything. So put those. I got Sigma 6.
Dude, I love that you have Sigma 6. Holy shit.
There's all my vintage stuff. In here, I have G.I. Joe Extreme. I was kind of lucky enough to get a pre-production wreckage figure.
Oh, that's awesome.
I've never seen it anywhere. I got it off of eBay for like $5 because nobody liked Extreme. And
now you have a production item. That's badass. I saw you had a Battlehawk in that same thing.
I do, yeah.
I love that vehicle.
Found the sticker sheet a couple years ago later. I just never put it on.
It's wild how a classified fits in there.
Yeah. The Sideshow stuff I love, you know, all the classified. And then, I mean, I have a whole nother room here.
What you're saying is you are not brand new.
I've been collecting since 82. I mean, my mom got me into it Christmas 1982. And then I kind of went crazy with it. The conventions, all the 25th. I just love putting it everywhere.
Does the family like this?
My wife supports me. I keep it pretty contained. My daughter is big into graphic design, so my older, so she kind of does some artwork.
Oh, that's awesome. Did you have her work on your submission for this?
I actually did that drawing in 1992. I don't know where I found it, but it was like a drawing of, you know, how they set up the G.I. Joe figures way back then, how that schematic drawing. And I kind of just took that and put my own character on top.
Oh, that's awesome.
I think I was either 15 or 16 in 1992. And I was always big into art. Right before I joined the Army, I put all my art away in a big container and then just kind of saved it for years and years and years. And then when this project came up, I was like, dang, don't I have like a drawing someplace? Let me see if I can fit that out. I found it, took some scans of it, and then sent it in. So I was like, man.
That's incredible.
Kind of worked out.
So you started in 82, but in 92, you were still drawing G.I. Joe characters. So did you ever have a dark period? Did you ever have a period where you walked away from the toys?
Never, never. I stayed with it.
You were doing the teenage thing, doing the chase, yeah, and the toys at the same time.
Yeah.
You know how jealous I am of to hear that?
The hardest part was when I joined the Army, because I had to put all my stuff in storage. And at the time, it was 94, 95. So they had announced, okay, well, we're ending the G.I. Joe line. I was like, dang, well, I guess it's kind of perfect that it ends right as I'm leaving for the Army. And then, of course, they came up with Toys R Us exclusives and stuff later on. And as I had a chance, I'd buy them, you know, and keep them. The bulk of my collection was in storage for like, I think, for 10 years. And then my parents brought it to me when I was stationed up in North Dakota. They brought me all my stuff. So, and then I've been carting it around everywhere I've been.
So you were collecting what as it was coming out, and all your childhood stuff was in a bin.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
So it was almost like I was starting new collections everywhere I moved, because I'd have like a small room, squeeze it in. And it wasn't until my last duty site was Fort Bragg, North Carolina. And I had a house there that had they call it just a bonus room, kind of like this was this here. And I finally got to like pull all my stuff out and just display it. And I was just so happy with that space. And then when I retired in 2019, I was like, okay, let me find a house that's going to be able to have everything. And I could put shelves. And this house just worked out great because I had a bonus room and then a side room.
That's, I mean, I know a few people like that, right? Like Brian Kaufman and Drew Haggerty both have the same story of they never paused. They never had a dark period.
Mm-hmm.
And I did, and I'm very jealous. And that you could like be in the Army long enough to retire from the Army, so holy shit, and be able to collect as you moved around barracks to houses to et cetera.
Yeah.
Did you join the Army because of G.I. Joe, or was it more of a family situation?
I'm sure it had an influence because my father was in the Air Force, and he was in the Air Force when I was a kid. He passed away in the early 90s, and you know, I was thinking the military would just be a great, you know, way to go. My mom wanted me to go to the Air Force because he was obviously in the Air Force, and I just wanted my own path. So I picked the Army, and I loved it. I did 25 years and loved every year in it. And had the soldiers, you know, we played as kids, had our battles and stuff like that. I'm sure it had an influence.
Does being career military, does that make you long for a more realistic military, Joe? I mean, or are you still really into the wacky sci-fi, high fantasy G.I. Joe?
Oh, I love the wacky sci-fi. Yeah. I mean, it wouldn't be G.I. Joe if you didn't have Cobra robots and, stuff like that.
I love that kaiju.
Yeah, that's what G.I. Joe is all about to me, too. So, I mean, it's cool when you have the some of the realistic guys, but I mean, Cobra was, my wife's always saying, oh, why do you like the villains so much? I was like, I mean, they're just cool, you know, and that's that fantasy aspect of it also. So yeah, I've always loved you can add anything to it. I'm pretty much, if it's G.I. Joe, I'm getting it.
Dude, that's very cool. I wish you had been more active because I'm at every Joe Fest and I hit Kentuckiana and AR and, you know, all these other shows. We could have been having this conversation years ago.
You know, once this thing solidified and Carson reached out to me, and now that I've been jumping on to like posts that I see and saying, oh, yeah, you know, my figure's supposed to be coming out in wave 3. So I'm all in on this. You know, please help send it everywhere. And I'm getting friend requests from people who or in my feed. People are popping up that are like big names that I've seen, you know, in the collecting community with G.I. Joe and stuff like that. So it's interesting. Hopefully I'll try more and more, you know, to get out there and stuff like that. Cause I love going to the conventions and I love talking to, you know, the people like the Skeletron crew were awesome. You know, the people working at Carson's booth were awesome. I've talked to the Marauder guys cause I have a bunch of their stuff too. I mean, I love supporting all these things too.
Wait, at Joe Fest this year, when you were walking around and talking to like Skeletron and Callsign Longbow, did you end up meeting A when he was hanging out behind their booth?
No, yeah, I don't remember.
I'm kind of hoping that, and this is something that I've talked to with a couple other of you guys, because I am not one of your peers. I'm not part of the fraternity, but he is. And so I'm hoping like he gets to connect with you guys. In today's world, he doesn't have an age group peer in this realm.
Yeah.
And so his peers are all in their mid-40s. He hangs out with all the 12-inch guys, you know, like Steve Stovall and Ace Allgood and Scott and Cotswold. He hangs out with all those guys. They're all in their 50s and older. And then he hangs out with all the younger guys who got into G.I. Joe because of yard sales, like Joel, the guy that I podcast with. He's on the younger side of us. And then there's all of us, like you and me, we're about the same age. We are his peers. And you guys are now in that same group with a very small select people. And I love it. And I hope that he gets to meet you guys either, you know, through here or, you know, going to Joe Fest or other conventions.
Yeah, definitely. The one guy who was El Castador, I was talking with him the other day, and we were just kind of commenting on each other's concepts. So it's really cool when you get to meet some of the people and then have that conversation with them about, you know, their what they did or how they grew up and were connected to G.I. Joe or their concepts and stuff like that. And it's been interesting.
You pulled out a figure from 1992 that you drew when you were a teenager, probably sitting in art class or sitting at home on your own. Like, I love this idea. You put it away. You kept it forever. I long, long ago threw away all of my portfolios and sketchbooks and everything. I did. I've moved so much. Which you were in the Army. You know what that's like.
Oh, yeah.
But you moved so much and didn't throw away these things, whereas I just was scrapping artifacts. Dumb me. But you have this. You submitted it. Do you know who the designer is that is going to work on it, Ron or Mark?
I thought they said it was going to be Mark.
Okay.
Just the fact that those guys are just the ones putting it all together was just like, man, that's just wild. It blows your mind, you know?
An idea you had as a teenager is now in the hands of the guy who created Outback.
Mm-hmm.
Iron Grenadier. I mean, that's...
I know. It's just crazy. It's crazy. And it's funny because I told my wife, I was like, oh, they got this this new Kickstarter coming out. I think I'm going to I know I got a submission. I'm going to throw it in there. She's like, well, what if you get selected for it? And I was like, I don't know. I'm sure they'll get tons of different concepts and stuff like that. But she's like, but what if you get selected for it? And I was like, I didn't even think about it. You know,
I've never met her and I like your wife already.
Yeah. And then when I went to Joe Fest and came back, and then, you know, I saw they posted the videos from the panels. So I'm like, I started watching the video and they posted that picture, like you said in your podcast, with the little silhouette.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, that's my son's right there. And I was like, I was looking through the silhouettes and it was unmistakable, the mine. And I was like, oh my gosh. And so then I'm like fast forwarding quick into the video to see if it was actually picked. And sure enough, it was. Then I go back and watch the whole video.
Oh, man.
I went down to tell my wife because I was up here working / watching videos on Facebook. And then she was like, she got, oh, my God. She was jumping more than I was. You know, it was just kind of that shock. It was just amazing. It's an amazing feeling. You know, I'm sure your son feels the same way, just on cloud nine when something like that happened.
Yeah, he went nuts. I was all in before he asked for submissions. I was all in before I knew Alexander or you or any of these guys were chosen. The fact that A is involved, it just makes it bigger, better. I'm going to go ham. That's how you and I met. You commented on this very public, very ad copy-esque kind of, yo, like, this is cool. You should buy this thing. Even if you don't like action figures, you know Alexander, buy his shit. Have you done anything like that for you?
I know I've posted on a lot of the Joe sites that I'm on, or if somebody has posted it again, I've always made the keep it going. I sent it to a couple of my friends, but I have to do it just a generic one out to everybody.
You absolutely do.
I see what you know what you're doing, and I really like that whole post that you guys set up, where it kind of breaks it all down and then, and sending that out to everybody, because that is great, you know, because you will get people who are not necessarily, you know, action figure collectibles, but want to support.
Yeah. And I know John did the same thing for Bobby, who is a Clanker and Tank. You know, he and I talked a lot about it. He felt just as weird about it as I did. Aaron posting for Alexander really kind of unlocked both of us of, oh, shit, this is the right thing to do. For us, it's easier because we're supporting our sons, right? You're supporting yourself, but I think you 100% should.
Sure. Definitely do that. Yeah.
Where are you on the call sheet for Wave 3?
I think it was Figure 1.
I know I've seen the pictures and everything, but since this is an audio podcast, what is your character?
So my character is Great White. He's a underwater enemy commander. That's how they have him listed.
Underwater enemy commander. So you went bad guy.
I did. I'm a villains guy, so I like the bad guys. A lot of times they're like the masked one. So he's kind of masked because I was never good at drawing facial proportions and stuff. So he's got a mask with like, I think I drew like a scar across one eye kind of. And then he's got the whole dive suit, kind of shark themed dive suit.
Did you submit anything else or just the one?
Just the one. Yeah.
Wow. That's awesome. One and done. Just
yeah.
All in one bullet.
I had another one that was more, I think I called him Fire Ant. He was more like an army combat engineer, but he was very army camouflage guy, maybe a little flashes of red, you know. He wasn't very fantasy enough. So I was like, yeah, I'll do the great white because I always wanted to see that. I always felt like Cobra needed like an underwater command. They had sea snakes. They had Secta vipers, they had Hydra vipers, eels, but they never had one guy who was in charge down there underwater. So that's what I wanted. So
I like the underwater guys. Like I army build the 1992 robot shark.
Oh, okay. Wow.
By default, I army build the version 2 eels because most of the sharks come with an eel, but the eel is not the important part. It's the shark.
The shark.
I like the underwater guys. Mark and Larry could turn him into a good guy, could turn him into an army trooper, could make him a named anything because they're starting with your idea and they're moving from there. So to know that you said, hey, I would love for this to be a bad guy. I would love for this to be the face of the underwater villains, I think is awesome. It gives them a starting point of why not a bad guy?
With my submission, I had like a little file card in there too. Because I was calling him like the Eels Commander or something like that. So, and it was based off the 1992, you know, style of file card. So, you know, it was the complete kind of like oval-ish with the little picture.
Awesome.
And then kind of the full body picture. I'm pretty sure I like cut, pasted, and then I took my drawing and I shrunk it down, you know, with a copy machine until I could get it to fit. And then I pasted it on there and took another copy of it until I had it all on one piece, one sheet. And I was like, all right, that looks pretty cool. You know, I got a file card. I got the figure side viewing from the side and from the front. And then I got some accessories there. So I don't know. I thought it was at the time. I just tried to remember why I did it. That's the hard part. I was always been into, you know, art and doing stuff like that. But I'm trying to remember why I did it. If I was just like, oh, that's cool, I'll create my own character because that's how they did it when they designed stuff, or what the reasoning was, why I did it. But I did it and it came out great.
I'm not silent because I'm at a loss for words. I'm silent because I'm just drinking all this in. This is everything that I was as a teenager as well. You know, I used to draw superheroes and I used to draw G.I. Joe and Transformers and I was never great, but putting together the file cards, doing all this stuff, this is amazing. And I love that you kept this artifact for over 30 years.
Yeah.
And then we're like, let's give it a shot. And that shot worked.
Sure.
You put it all into one bullet and that bullet hit and we're going to get it. You know, obviously with the way things are structured and the way things cost, we are reliant on our community to back this enough to make this pop the first go round.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone gets to play. I love the character design. I love the idea behind it in that as a teenager, you weren't sure how to make a file card. So you cut and paste with a copier machine. Like, that's fantastic to me. I love all of that. Are you backing the His Tank at all?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've never been an army builder, but I usually get one of everything and I'm happy with it.
But you're going to army build your guy.
Well, yeah. I'll have a couple of him. I'll definitely want a couple of him. And it's weird because, you know, I see people's collections. They have like, you know, full squads and stuff like that. But yeah, I definitely backed the Hiss. I mean, and that kept growing and growing. They kept adding figures to it and more parts to it. It looks great. I managed to find a place where everything fits. So even though it's a big thing, I mean, I bought a couple. Can you see those?
They're wow. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, those are just 3D ones that people have done.
That's a 6-inch Devilfish, Fang, and
I have a Skyhawk and a Swamp Skier. They're a little rough.
But they're 3D printed.
Yeah, they're 3D printed. I mean, just the stuff people were doing has just amazed me. I mean, I've even got, like, these are Kiss tanks that the parts were 3D printed for, you know, missiles. And Gatling guns and rail guns. And I mean, I find this stuff on Etsy, and, you know, there's really some cool people doing some really cool stuff. And I love it. I love adding. So I'll buy a second vehicle to add the stuff too, you know?
Oh, that's incredible. So instead of army building, like, say, 15 hisses, you buy as many hisses as you need to customize.
Exactly, yeah.
With these extra weapons and gears. So I loved the hiss that you just showed me that had, like, the metal canopy and then the rail gun. Like, that's, all of those look cool, but that one's kind of my favorite.
I don't know, I was following a guy on eBay, and he was making these missile systems for them. And I was like, man, I got to have those. They completely make the hiss look, you know, so different. So when they had that one come out, you know, that 6-inch one where they're adding different stuff to it and then a back, I was like, oh, that's cool. I mean, they had to come out with the hiss tank for the first thing, you know.
You've already done side missile pods.
It fits, right?
So you have the hiss tank coming. You have all these amazing customs at 6-inch and at 3¾ scale. You know, you just mentioned talking to Ben and Mark at the Skeletron booth, so I'm assuming you have a RoboSkull coming.
Oh, yeah. I went all in on the RoboSkull, too, yeah.
Are you doing all three scales of figures, or are you just going to focus on one? Because they had an O-ring, a 4-inch, and a 6-inch.
You know, I liked it so much that since I went the all-in, I went with the 6-inch, and then as well as the small ones. So, and then I also, I think I added the jungle one.
Wolf Trooper.
Yeah, and then there was one other one, too, that I added, too. So, I added the full thing to it. I'll find a space for those two RoboSkulls. I don't have that I don't know if that talent for those types, so I support all the other people who are out there doing it.
That's why I'm asking about this. So you've backed the Hiss Tank, you've backed Skeletron. I'm assuming you've backed Call Sign Longbow then.
Yeah.
The Grindstone guys are helping and partnering or consulting with Carson at some level. Ben and the Skeletron crew are doing the same thing. You're not just asking people to back Carson's thing so that you can have a figure. You are an active participant backing and funding all of these other creators. You're working with 3D printed customization. Your money is in just as much as your heart is. You're not just asking for money. You're also pouring it out. The same as like myself and everybody else that I've talked to. I think that's really kind of the fun of this. You and the other, you know, you get to work with our childhood heroes that we didn't even know their names as children.
I know, right? It's just amazing.
But we knew they were our heroes, right? The guy who made Outback, the guy who made Cobra Commander. You know, if you came in behind us, or I guess you, since you never stopped, the guy who made Clean Sweep.
Yeah.
The guy who made the Headman.
Back then, I didn't know. I just thought the characters were so cool. Their backstories were fantastic. The only one I really knew, you know, was Larry Hama, you know, because the comic books, I always collected the comic books to go right with it. And I still think I'm one of the only G.I. Joe comic book collectors when I get my books at the local comic book store.
Same.
And I always knew that, but, you know, and then I've seen Ron or Dad a couple times at like Joe Cons, and I went to Joe Fest. I think it was, I want to say 2019. I was at the Joe Fest before COVID, and I saw him there, and Larry Hama signed some comics for me. And then I got put in the Cobra Clutch by Sergeant Slaughter. That was the first time I saw him, got him to sign some stuff, you know, so I was happy. And I had gone to, you know, the regular Joe conventions, you know, by Fun Publications. I've been to quite a few of those and had a good time. But again, I just do my thing, get my stuff, and I'm kind of out.
Yeah, you're killing me, man. You're killing me because it sounds like we could have had all this great conversation around the bar, around the lobby.
Yeah.
Instead, you were ducking out. You got to stop ducking out. I don't know if you're a drinker or not, but if you are, we'll share a beer. If you're not, we'll share a water. It doesn't matter to me.
A lot of times I plan them, I don't want to say as a side trip to something else, but like the last Joe Con in Chattanooga, I went to the Joe Con and I was there a couple hours. Then, you know, I wanted to make sure my wife got a chance to see Chattanooga. So we went all through Chattanooga. Then I came back for a couple hours,
sure.
Went to the parachute drop, you know, stuff like that. I think for myself, I was like, well, I'm satisfied. You know, let me make sure my wife has a good time here. So
absolutely.
And kind of for Joe Fest, too, because there was a lot going on in Augusta that day. So we did Joe Fest in the morning, then kind of walked through the Pride Festival over there and then some other things that were.
Oh, nice. How was that? I wanted to see it, but I'm so busy on the floor. I can't leave the floor. So I miss Pride both years.
It was very interesting. So
awesome.
I mean, just the mix of people and music. It was fun. We walked through. I'm wearing a big red Cobra t-shirt with a glow-in-the-dark Cobra. And then we walked up and people gave us beads. So now I have beads on. And then we were leaving. This guy said, oh, you went to Joe Fest. And then he goes, oh, and the Pride Fest. Well, I was like, yep, I'm guilty. I went to
And I'm jealous of that because last year I was going to dinner with Andrew and Robert and Alexander. We get stuck in this crazy traffic and we're like, what the fuck is going on? And then somebody's like, oh, it's Pride Fest. And I was like, oh. And, you know, we go a block and then suddenly we just see it, right? But it's after dark, so you don't see like the big parade and everything. You just see a bunch of cars and parties.
Yeah.
This year, I was like, man, I would love if we go out of the hotel to go get food. I would love to go check it out. But I never left campus, right? Like we went to the restaurants right behind the hotel.
Okay, yeah.
But we never got out further than that. So
I think we ended the day over at the museum. There's a museum just on the other side of the hotel there because my wife and I like walking through some of the, you know, modern art museums. And that one just happened to be free for that particular day. So we walked
awesome
through that museum, too. So we were staying in Atlanta at an Airbnb. So that was a side trip over to Augusta and back to Atlanta to do a whole bunch of stuff. So. But we had a blast. I mean, that was the whole point of that vacation was pack it in as much as we could. So we did.
When you're in Atlanta, did you get over to Noonan, Georgia, to Kelly's shop, Full Circle Toys?
No.
I recommend it.
We did the botanical gardens. We rented some bikes and rode the Greenway or the trail through Atlanta, experienced different foods, stuff like that.
This is a full experience for you, not just a toy show.
We pick an area and then we create a list for each other, like what we want to do while we're there. And then we just try to cross things off the list. If we don't get to them all, great. If we do, fantastic.
That's awesome.
Joe Fest was on mine. So I said, as long as we can get over to Joe Fest, all I need is like a good 3-4 hours to walk through. There's some things I want to pick up and check out and we'll be golden.
That's a completely different way of doing conventions than I'm used to.
Yeah.
I immerse myself from 7 a.m. until 3 a.m. And then I wonder why I have to stay until Monday to get home. Next time you're in Atlanta, you should check out Full Circle.
Okay. Yeah, definitely.
Kelly is one of us and her shop is awesome. Not to try to convince you to kibosh this amazing experience that you and your wife do around toy conventions. But being able to, after the floor closes, hit the lobby swap and then hang out in the lobby with everybody is its own experience that I truly recommend.
I've read stories and stuff like that. I was like, man, I got to go to one of those, bring my big box of extra vehicle parts and see, you know, just trade away and stuff like that and have conversations.
The show ran from 5 to 8 Friday, then it ran all day Saturday, and it ran until like, I don't know, 3 or 4 Sunday afternoon. However, there was room trading and lobby swapping starting at like 10 a.m. on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And it went, people were still trading toys in the lobby until 2 a.m. Thursday night. Not even at the show yet.
Definitely have to come to those and spend a little bit more time at them. If I go with my wife, I always want to make sure that she's taken care of too. Even though she's like, oh, you could go to that stuff. As long as I'm fed, I'm good. You know, I'm like, I know it. She walked around at Joe Fest for a little bit. She was taking pictures of things. She loves looking at it. She's an artist herself. She enjoys it. At first, she was a little hesitant because she wasn't sure of what type of people would be at a con. And then she went and saw. Everybody loves toys and collects them, you know? I mean,
Operation Recall is an interesting subset of that when you have the creative designers are from 10 to like 60-ish.
Yeah, that's
and all over, like there's some people outside of the U.S. Not everybody is a lifelong collector like you. You know, there's at least a couple people that are brand ass new back into the community. I love that about us.
It's always sparked the imagination. I mean, for G.I. Joe's, having that file card and having a backstory on them, then having a comic book and a cartoon to like expand on stories and then to create your own, you know, you pick your team. You know, I remember, you know, I had the aircraft carrier out there when I was a kid. It was out on my porch. we had it on a big picnic table. And I remember picking my team. Shockwave was always my favorite Joe. So he'd be my team leader. And we'd have somehow Cobra would have taken over the aircraft carrier, and we're taking it back room by room with our ragtag group of Joes that you handpicked because of their dossiers, you know. So
that's incredible.
I always loved the whole, it had such a deep story, and does it sparks the imagination.
Right there, you just jumped into a story.
I think that's why a lot of people have gotten back into it too. You know, during COVID, they found their collections in the attic, and suddenly they're like, man, I want to get all of them again. I didn't know. It's funny. I read, you know, I'll read stuff on Facebook, people asking who this figure is. And then they'll say, you know, people will tell them who it is. And they didn't know about that character because he was from the modern line or from one of the other lines. And now they're suddenly they want the whole collection again. And to find out about it, it's crazy. And then it's just that it's that contagious afterwards. That's why I've never discriminated. If I can, you know, I know people weren't big fans of Extreme. My friend gave me like pretty much like a whole set of them from a garage sale he was having. I was like, you know what? I'm going to buy them back. I'm going to buy them in packaging. And then I was searching. Same with like Sigma Six. I bought so many of them when they came out, but there was a few that I missed. So I was like going back trying to get those. So my wife's like, does collecting ever stop? I was like, no, it never stops.
There's plenty of people that talk about an end to their collecting. They're trying to get to this one totally attainable, I'm done goal. I don't know of anybody that hits that goal and then either like sells it immediately or they realize that that was never the goal to begin with and they just push right through.
It's like a unicorn. It doesn't exist.
Yeah. One of the things that I'm noticing by looking at your room, I mean, I saw that Extreme was in package, but I don't see a whole lot of carded figures. You're a loose guy.
You have carded too. You know where I keep them all in? I have these comic boxes here. I haven't figured a good way to display them because of space-wise, but I don't have all of them. Right before I joined the Army, I was working a job at Pinch a Penny Pool Store, right? I saved all my money up. I used to go to Books a Million or Barnes and Nobles, and they'd have those catalogs, and they were like mail order catalogs, right? Or toy magazines, you know, and in the back they'd have mail order. So I found Cotswold Collectible. I mailed them a letter because that's what we did back in the day. Hey, can you send me a catalog? They sent me a catalog, and they had all these mint on card figures. So I spent like, I don't know, $300 with them. And I bought a whole bunch of rare, like foreign figures, a whole bunch of my favorite figures carded. And I got them. I was so happy. I had them on this little like display. And then, of course, then I joined the Army. So I boxed everything up and I was like, man, everything went into storage and it wasn't temperature controlled storage. Oof. So I was always in the back of my mind. It's like, oh, my stuff's going to be melted. It's going to be like all. But it survived. Somehow it survived. And then when my mom brought it all back to me when I was up in North Dakota, I found eBay and then I started buying more and more. I think my oldest figures are like Dusty and Airtight, 85.
That's incredible.
And then I have some custom figures. There were people on eBay that I would find that would do like vehicle drivers, you know, like ones that were never on cards. And I was like, oh, I got to have those. I don't know. I've always been a fan of the fans that are creating stuff. So.
And now you get to experience it in a way that very few ever have.
Yeah, and that's fantastic. I mean, I can't wait to see, you know, what they come up with, you know, how they modify the design and then just the package art and everything, you know, once they get to their final designs and stuff. The basis of that figure was an idea that I came up with, so super cool.
It's really a wonderful project and idea, and it's really spectacular how all of these people have just made room to share the stage. And so congratulations on being one of the chosen 16.
Yeah, thank you.
You know, he had to put him in some sort of order. You're number one in wave three, which means you're number nine on the call sheet.
Mm-hmm.
I know there some of these figures are going to be builders. Some of them are going to be named characters. I know they're using some version of cadaver symbol for the bad guys. That's all very public. Carson's already said all that.
you know, anytime they can take it and add some story to it too, it just makes it even more exciting, you know, like, and then to weave, like, when I saw them and said they were going to start weaving that kind of skull kind of motif through the villains, I was like, oh, that's perfect.
They've talked about Joe has already written some script. They've even done some, like, test art. I'm not saying anything that isn't already known, but, you know, Larry's on staff, so no matter what's written, if Larry decides to rewrite it all, like, who am I to say no?
Yeah, right.
So to know that your character, like, you gave him a file card when you were 16, but Larry's the file card king. He made all the dossiers. So as a kid, that I never called them file cards. They were all dossiers. And I think I pulled that from the comic book, from Larry. And, you know, Larry had that quote of don't make fun of people who mispronounce things when they learn the word from reading. Mm-hmm. So as a kid, it was dossiers.
Yeah.
You made one, but Larry gets to rewrite it. He gets to put his spin on it.
Yeah.
Larry Hama is touching your character. Mark Pennington, Kirk Bazigian, Doug Hart, Ed and his son, Morrill.
Yeah, exactly. At this point, they're like celebrities to us. This is our childhood, you know, toys, imagination, everything. So at this point, you know, those creators are at that celebrity status. So for them to touch something and make it into a product that was something that you had like that, you know, thought of and created in some way, shape or fashion is just, it is, it's mind blowing. It's an amazing feeling.
This has been an Operation Recall Order of Battle.